Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Listeners, wherever you are, brothers, sisters, fellow Muslims, and especially the lovers of the Sahaba, that once more again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah keep all of you well. The topic this morning that I wish to discuss and which the Quran speaks about, wa atimul hajj wal umrata lillah, and complete the Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah. So here you find that the Quran speaks about the sake of Allah. And now with our, especially in this part of the world, Southern Africa, the holidays are coming, the Easter holidays, so-called Easter holidays. And the many people have made preparations to go for. Some are going on the three Haram tours. Some are going on just the ordinary Umrah. Some are also going right up to Turkey as well. So anyhow, the thing is that a large amount of our people, male adults and children, school children, all of them will be preparing for this journey of Umrah. Alhamdulillah, I'm also going. My next week, inshallah, I should be sitting, maybe Allah will, sitting in, at the airport. So what I want to say is that a believer must have a special kind of feeling within him when he's going there. He's not going to any ordinary place. If I say I'm going to Cape Town on holiday, or I'm going somewhere else, Mauritius or which other place or so, that means I'm going on a holiday, but this is a very special place, that it is the most sacred place on earth. There is no other place that is more sacred than Makkah, and then followed that by the city of Medina, the beloved of Allah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his masjid. So for that, you need a kind of a special behavior, a special mentality, and you have to be prepared to go. Many people have been and some haven't been. Some are going second, third time. Maybe some are going for the first time or so. That one has to go from here, first of all, with patience. There must be sabr on your journey, that when you get there, we find that you land up at the airport. The airport is not at times very, I would say, efficient in a Western way or so. It works much slower. Sometimes time gets wasted, 2 hours, 3 hours, waiting at the airport or then coming out, and suddenly we find that the prospective Mu'tamir or Mu'tamira, they suddenly now get angry that why did it take so long, or this or that, or one. Sometimes you find that, unfortunately, some people tend to land up even with abuse or so this is no good at all. A believer is going there. There is time. There will be delays. You must remember, yours is not the only flight that is coming in. There are flights coming from all over the world. And like this, that it will take a little bit of time. So be patient and be ready for a little bit of delay or so. And then you come out. That will be far better than you trying to be in a hurry. And even if you are in a hurry, what are you going to achieve? Must you reach Makkah or Medina, one of the two, whichever way you are going? That must you reach so quickly that you must be there by this time or so. You have to do your Umrah and you have to do this, or you, if you get to Medina on this time, you'll make it for the ladies will make it for the ziyarat time or something. I've said, no, absolutely nothing. You take it as it comes. You must be calm, cool, and you carry on. You do whatever has to be done. If you are told there's a delay with the bus, there's a delay with the flight, there's delay with this, accept all that and make it part and parcel of your journey. If you are going to do that, that is going to be a very pleasant journey, rather than one where you are going to have tension and you are going to try and move very fast or do this or do that. We find this sometimes happening. even from the time people leave from here, from the airport, from even before the airport. I had a strange incident where I had to go for my biometrics. Normally they take your eyes and fingerprints and all that year before you leave, when you apply for your visa. So the person in charge of the parking at the bottom, the security man, when I was leaving, he stopped me. So he tells me that Madala, you know, because I'm 74 years old, so old man is referring to Madala. Man, you know, this fellow with this red car here or something, he pointed to a car parked outside. It become very abusive towards me, you know. And it was a Muslim's car that was going for Umrah, and now he had to give all his fingerprints and have those eyes also checked out. So he tells me that, look at this man, there's no parking space here. I told him park there on the road, on the side. He becomes abusive to me. I said, that is wrong. I'm sorry about it that this man did it, because he knew that probably he's belonging to my religion. So I said, I'm sorry that this thing has happened. You know, I just hope that the other people who come behave themselves. So like this, sometimes you don't get parking in some place. You have to park on the road, or on the road means that on the pavement outside the building. You know, and this behavior like this. So like this, going through immigration facilities at the airport also, that if everybody has got a ticket, everybody has a boarding pass. Sometimes you find that our people feel that I might get left out, or I might get, you can't get left out because you have a boarding pass, you have the seat number written on it. Sometimes, I know it does happen that they have free seating also, but most of the times you have a seat number and it is allotted to you. So this plane can't leave with you. People want to push and jump the queue and do this and call others to the front and things like this. So all these types of behavior must be avoided by the Haji. He must be disciplined, and he must not be in a hurry, and he must be cool and calm leaving from here and when he lands up there, the same there. Now when you get to, as an example, some of the people will go to Makkah, they will go into Ihram, probably they'll wear the Ihram, especially if they're traveling Saudi, they'll wear the Ihram on the plane also. And then before the plane arrives there, at Jeddah, the captain usually announces that you are coming near the Miqat, or all those going to Mecca. He will say that in English, that all those going to Mecca, make your intention also, and that is before the plane lands there at Jeddah. So like this, you will now go into Ihram. And when you go into Ihram again, now Ihram ties you up also, that your behavior must be absolutely good and correct, and there must be nothing that it must be un-Islamic or unethical. So like this, you will wear your Ihram there, and then of course you'll arrive. You will wait some while, and your agent must have done some arrangements for your transport. And from there, you will go to Makkah as an example. And once you have rested and you are ready for your Umrah, your Tawaf and your Sa'i, then you will come into the Haram Sharif. The Haram Sharif will not be empty. There will be plenty of people. You will get that type of pushing also, because you must remember, the bulk of the Muslims that come from third world countries. There is no such a thing as excuse me or sorry or something like this. You see, many of these people, during all my travels, I have found that sorry or something like that, nothing of that sort. You might be pushed around. Somebody might tread on your toe. And if he treads on your toe, don't you tread on his toe, or give him a dirty look, or tell him, why are you doing this? Because there are so many people, and people are pushing and getting in to come in and make their tawaf or at the sa'i also. So like this, the behavior, this is very important for those people who are going for Umrah and for Hajj as well, that you must have an excellent. There are other nationalities also that I've come across who are extremely helpful, extremely courteous, although they might not then from some Arab country or even from some Indian or Pakistani country, you find that they're extremely courteous, helpful and all this. And like this, we also must be helpful to others. If somebody is there, old, can we give them a hand? Do they need water? And like this, service to others, not only, no, I must make, they must look after themselves, or they must do this, or they must do that. You find sometimes somebody old has been left behind or something. So like this, if you do something like that, probably I feel that you might get a greater reward than the Umrah itself also. So like this, let us not regard any good deed as a petty thing that, you know, ignore this one. Or don't give somebody sit down, do you want water? Can I bring you some zamzam here? Because there's all zamzam around the haram in the mataf. So like this, there must be the spirit of brotherhood, the spirit of service. That is the biggest thing, whether it be Umrah or whether it be Hajj, the spirit of service. And that is beginning to lack, because people then say, no, they came with the agent must do this for the agent. Don't pass anything on to the agent. If you are now faced with a situation, see that that situation, you grab that situation and take it in, and you use it to your benefit. Remember that we don't see reward. Reward is not seeable. It's not like money that, yeah, they'll pay you 50 rial or 100 rial and you see the rial note, one green note or red note or whatever the color of the note is, that you'll see that here the rewards are multiplied abundantly. So like this, spend your time well. Don't spend your time sitting in the hotel lobbies, and sometimes some, especially now, well, many places they've now banned smoking or so. And in fact, yeah, also you'll still find people go out and smoke somewhere in the corridor or somewhere else outside. If there are any people like that also, please see that you try and kick this habit, because it isn't a pleasant habit at all. I'm not a smoker at all, and I don't like, most people don't like the smell of tobacco also. So like this, let us see that we spend our time fruitfully, and when we come back also, that we come back and our behavior must be right. Yeah, also on petty things, on arrival, somebody's zamzam never came or they never loaded it on. The gentleman there quietly took somebody else's zamzam and he pushed off on his trolley. Now, I mean, how can you do this? You have done such a noble deed here. You have made tawaf, you have gone, you have cried and made dua to Allah. You have gone to Safa, you have gone to Marwa, you went to Masjid al-Nabawi. You probably visited Uhud, you visited Quba, you visited all these places, the cemetery of Medina. So Baqi, and like this, you come and you have brought all this in you, and suddenly you want to walk off with somebody else's zamzam. That is absolutely, absolutely incorrect. So like this, on the plane also with others, let us be friendly, let us be helpful, and this, that. So this is one of the good akhlaq of a Muslim, that he will do the good akhlaq, especially of a pilgrim. And because here, good deeds are multiplied. They are not like ordinary, like if I do a good deed here in Indonesia or somewhere else, or Johannesburg or somewhere, and I do something and a good deed, and a good deed done in Makkah, that is increased manyfold, thousands of times. You find that each good deeds are increased. So brothers and sisters, whoever you are going, that see that you, and don't try, especially among the ladies also, don't try and do yourself, in your race with others with a more fancy abaya, and like this, people want to have this and you want to wear the special this, or so that nobody must look like me also. A simple black abaya, which bulk of the Muslim countries the ladies wear, or anything like that. That is a simple abaya. You don't have to buy a very expensive designer type of thing. So, like this, brothers and sisters, let us go to this holy city. Let us reform ourselves, reform our behavior, and that behavior must be a follow-up to our return from here, that look, this person went for Umrah. See, now he's so helpful, he's so smiley, he's so this, or she is like this and she's like that. This person, genuinely, the effects of the Umrah has come on them. So like this, these are the nasiha or a few advices that I give to all those people going for Umrah, and that what they should do. If you have a good book on Umrah, sorry, I'm not doing any advertisements here, but the best book on Umrah in English is mine. You'll find it somewhere in many of the books. It will be of helpful to you, and it will be helpful to anybody others also. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.